Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's your boys at the 1973 podcast, and we're here to ask one question. And that question is, what you gonna do when the Hulkamania Memorial episode runs wild on you? That's what we have to say. So we've been dying to do an all wrestling podcast episode, and what a better way to do it than to remember. Everybody likes the kayfabe, said they didn't like him when you were growing up, but we all have a Hulk Hogan story from when you were a kid. And I'm going to start by asking right off the rip, we're going to go around. We're going to start with the professor. Were you or were you not a Hulk Hogan fan growing up? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's it. I'll take that. Phantom, were you or were you not a Hulkamaniac?
Absolutely.
Now we're going to go to the youngest member of the group. Bradford, were you or were you not a Hulkamaniac growing up?
I had the pajamas, I had the ring, I had the retros. I had the Halloween costume. I had the wristbands. I had the headband. I wore a bandana tied around my head like Hogan for like 90% of my childhood. I was the biggest Hulkamaniac you could ever imagine, bro.
Okay. All right. So now that
But
we got, we
do you
go
have your
ahead, Tom.
picture taken with him, though?
Yep. It's a little,
Never
there
got a
you go.
picture.
There you
Never
go.
got a picture, man.
Yep. When it comes crashing down and it hurts inside, the Hulkamania episode, we are off and running. So there's so many Hulk Hogan cliches. We can go all the way back to the start where I don't know, a lot of people know the history of Hulkamania and what's truth and what's fiction. But I'm going to. Before we get into that, we're going to do another quick little round just so we can set the tone. As they say in the hockey world, we're going to set the tone. Professor, the first memory you have of Hulk Hogan. What time? What year? What was the angle?
I have no idea what year it was, but it was when he beat the Iron Sheik for the belt. That's
Okay.
my first real memory, to be honest, because we didn't have cable back then to watch AWA when he first actually started. So that was really my first core memory of him.
Okay. Phantom, first memory of the leg drop.
Obviously, you got to go with the sheep. But he was like, he was Atlanta. We always talk about this. He was in the wrestling magazines with Freddie Blassie as a bad guy, and it was so funny that we didn't get any of that NWA, or wherever AWA, wherever the guys were. You would see them, and then when they finally would show up in WWF, it'd be like, oh shit, this guy's awesome. Like, I already seen him before. And it didn't take long for him to blow up. So at the time, at 10 years old, you didn't know the plans that they had set up for him. But yeah, it was definitely the leg drop on the Sheik probably started it all for us as Hulkamaniacs, I would say.
All right, Bradford, first memory of the Hulkster.
It had to just be like my dad was in the Navy, so that whole like Desert Storm era. I want to say he was like in this feud with Sergeant Slaughter, and they tried to kind of recreate Slaughter's like Iron Sheik 2.0. So that's what I remember him. That we went to the live show to see that. You know, I was probably Lucas's age, you know, then. So that was my first memory.
So first memory for me, started watching wrestling real young. Like I said, entry level was Superstar Billy Graham. My father would attest to that. I remember when they brought him. I never saw Hulk Hogan until 1980. Big wrestling boom, cable boom in my house. But I remember his initial WWF run with Blassie. He got into it with Tony Atlas, got into it with Andre. Never got to see the Shea Stadium show with the big blow off with Andre. And I remember adamantly going to see and having a mini little kid argument with my father. We go to see Rocky III. He's
Forgot
in
about
there
that.
as Thunderlips. I'm trying to explain for almost from that point of the movie, almost to the end of the movie. Keep nudging my, but you don't remember when he was in WWF. You don't remember that? And him going, no, I don't remember. And he looked just like that. Remember, he had the cape and no, don't remember. I'm like, yeah, you do, because you watched it with me. And I'm getting mad about the. And then, of course, I never saw the AWA stuff. But then when he came back, and I still remember, I watched that stuff religiously. Showed up, Backlund was still there. They brought him in to tag with Backlund as like the guy that's going to help Backlund that's what he came back as, the guy that was going to come back to help Backlund. And he had the t-shirt with the iron on Hulkamania on it, and it never happened. His first match back was against the Sheik, and he beat him for the belt, like clean. And it wasn't even a big long match. He beat him, and after that, it was running. So we'll back up a little bit and talk about, how it came to be. So, he broke in Florida because, as you guys know, he was in a band. He hung out at a place that they all hung out at, and he just one day asked somebody. He says it was Billy Graham, but I don't think so. I think it was more Mike Graham. And, he said, hey, come down to, the Sportatorium. And they brought him down there, and supposedly he got his leg broken. The kayfabe sent him back home. He doesn't tell his buddies it's bullshit or whatever. And he came back. Imagine if he never went back. And he went back, and I guess they put him under a mask as the Super Destroyer. And Eddie Graham sent him to, I believe it was Gulf Coast Continental Wrestling, where, he brought Beefcake with him as Dizzy Hogan or whatever his brother was with the bleached hair. And they went from there and to Memphis, and he was Terry the Hulk Boulder and the Incredible Terry Boulder in Memphis or whatever. And it wasn't until he got to the WWF that first time that they gave him the Hulk Hogan name. They changed it. And the story always goes that Vince Sr. told him that if he left to do Rocky III, he was going to get fired. And he left. And I mean, if talk about forks in the road in the career, if he never did that, then after it was done and went to Vern, and they turned him into a good guy, and he had that run that they would never put the belt on him. And then the screw job with the FedEx and all that other stuff. We went to his wedding and went to Japan, and they did the old, hey, no, I'm not coming back. And Vince's flew over there to kind of help him make the switch. And when he got there, Vince picked his brain, saying, who do you want to bring? And he said, I want to bring Dr. D. I want to bring Jesse. I want to bring Gene. These are the guys you can bring. And that's when they started flooding out the territories. And, fun fact about that is Vince, finally, a couple we talked about on a podcast briefly, that was not his first pick to go national. It was Dusty, and Dusty was a touring attraction at the time, and kind of said, hey, listen, they're going to give me the book. They're going to let, I already helped them do Starrcade, which was, the first big wrestling pay-per-view that it wasn't WrestleMania, it was Starrcade. And there's a story with Starrcade. This I did not know until all the Hulk Hogan stuff came out after the fact. If you had the Starrcade 83 program, there was guys that were supposed to be featured on that card. Hulk Hogan was supposed to be at Starrcade 83. I never knew that. And where he was in Japan at the time to let all that stuff kind of finagle with Vern and going to Vince and never having to tell Vern face to face that he was leaving and have that conversation. Things could have been different depending on what's what. But looking back on, Billy Graham was already beat up at the time. Dusty had his stuff, and Dusty wasn't the physical specimen that Hulk Hogan was. And Vince liked a certain, I'll be nice the way I say it. He liked a certain WBF look. So yeah, Hogan was the perfect guy at the time. He was in his prime. He still had a decent set of hair when he beat the Sheik. It wasn't flaking as it was a few years later. But just look at all the merchandising and what they did for people that didn't ever watch wrestling until that time. And I don't even think in 84 with the leg drop and the belt that was when it took off. We could split hairs with this, but I really think the thing that made the WWF take off was when they got involved with MTV. I think out of all their savvy moves, going on MTV and hitting that demographic of the people that were watching MTV, and they got Cyndi Lauper was a huge wrestling fan before that. Yeah, she was huge. Like Andy Warhol and all those, that New York clique used to always go to MSG. The late 70s into the early 80s, once they put the belt, took the belt off of Bruno and they put it on Billy Graham into the Backlund years, they would, if you go back and watch those old school MSG shows, there's a bunch of people from Saturday Night Live there. Billy Crystal was always there. Andy Warhol. So there was always that, niche that wrestling had. It's just finding the right person to kind of have a vision to go against the mafia style setup that the NWA had and break away from that. And that's Vince had big balls. Yeah, I mean to do that. And the rest is history. But just were you surprised that he passed like that, and that Flair lived him, Thomas?
Oh yeah, I mean it's funny because I guess they kept tried to keep it quiet because the only guy I heard say that he wasn't doing good was Bubba the Love Sponge, and everybody as soon as he came out and said that, like Jimmy Hart and a few other people said, "Oh no, he's fine. He's just they downplayed it big time," and then within like 2 days he died. So
What do
yeah,
you
well, I
think?
don't know. I kind of he seemed like he was more disabled, like with his old age, than actually having like serious health problems, is something that could kill him, kind of a thing. But hey, I guess they're no different from anybody else. You could have problems with one thing, and it carries over to something else. Always a big man, so I guess what they were saying, they had a heart attack or whatever it was. But that those big guys like that didn't live long.
Now,
Bradford?
if you go back and listen or watch the Theo Von interview on his podcast with Hogan, it's kind of sad and ironic when you go back and re-listen and rewatch it. But there's a whole section of that podcast where Hogan talks about the longevity of those old school wrestlers. He's like, they just don't live that long. He's like, out of all the professional sports, football, basketball, baseball, pro wrestling, Olympics, you name it. He's like, our guys die off at an astronomically high rate, like whether it's suicide or health complications or death by alcohol or something or drug overdose. And he's like, no other sport has such a high death rate. And that was only a couple of years ago, but he did that interview, you know. But like Tom, I'd seen on Instagram and all the wickets that he was critical condition, it's not looking good. And I think I shared it to the group chat, and then it got like debunked, and then people started blowing my phone up like Hogan's gone. I was like, what? How's he like gone without even like a message, a farewell, a clue, an inkling that just gone? Like I think that's what hurts the most, is that it just so quick, man. Without warning. It's just. And the last time we saw him, he got booed out of the building.
Yeah, that's the part that I was going to bring up that I thought was kind of sad, that that's his last, that's his last WWE appearance. And sometimes the fans can't help themselves from ruining the sport that you love. We've talked about it before. Why are you ruining stuff that brings you so much joy by just being smarter than yourself? It's like, can't you just sit there and just enjoy something for what it is? You don't live next door to these people. You're not gonna ever have a relationship with them. Yeah, can't you just enjoy it for what it is, the ride, the emotional, like, just lose yourself in it. Enjoy it. Just good guys, bad guys. And to the discredit of wrestling itself, they've ruined it themselves too by giving too much, by showing too much, by letting people in that shouldn't be in. by, making it to comedy on at an independent level, where you're almost like, how are you ever be gonna be taken serious with something that has been going on for over 100 years now? And that's why there was a boom in the UFC, because people wanted that. UFC could be bullshit too. You don't know. It could be a work, but to a certain extent. But that's the way pro wrestling started out back in the day, in the Carny days. It was almost like a shoot fight. They come into town. This is our champion. Anybody tough enough to beat him? And they would always have like a mark in the crowd in case something went south. And then they'd be up against a circus tent. And if the guy was getting worked over by a local, they would work him towards the tent, and somebody with a slapjack would hit him from behind the tent just to knock the guy out, to help the guy out that was supposedly your champion. True story. So wrestling's always been its own worst enemy. I just don't know how you ever get that back. But these guys like Hogan dying off and all these other guys, whether you're a fan of Coco Beware or Jake the Snake or whatever, once these guys are gone, that wrestling bridge is totally different. Totally different. Whether you like Hogan or you don't, he is the most recognized face in the history of pro wrestling. There were so many knockoff Hulk Hogans in video games and things like that. That likeness of the blonde going bald guy with the headband and the Fu Manchu
Yep.
mustache used it so many things. It was like, we can't use Hulk Hogan, but here's a guy that's kind of like him. I still think if he's the most recognized guy in the history of pro wrestling. I'll say that. Agree? Anybody
Well, yeah.
disagree?
I would say
Hundred percent,
it's not even
thousand
close
percent.
either.
No, maybe Andre the Giant because of his look, but he's not. They did those Obey t-shirts and all that other stuff with Andre on it, and everybody knows that mug. But I mean, transcended the sport, brought it into the mainstream more than it probably had ever been. He was perfect for the expansion with cable. He came with kind of with cable, and they were able to use USA Network to do what TBS should have been doing 4 years before that. When TBS came into a lot of homes around 79 to 81, they should have been already trying to go with guys, but they didn't have, they actually had Hogan in 79, but they never really did a lot with him. He was Sterling Golden at the time, and he was a bad guy.
You talk about crossovers, Andy, because of him. They even had a cartoon because, I mean, they wouldn't have never, WWE never would have had that cartoon without Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard stories about just the merchandising on just the LJN figures, the original lineup with the Sheik, Big John Studd, Andre, Hogan, Snuka. Iron Sheik tells the story. Now Hogan was the most famous figure. You could find that everywhere. They double printed the crap out of that thing. But the Sheik said that when he got that first check, the first royalty check he got for that, like a month or two into the run, was a $75,000 check for the Sheik. So just
Dang.
imagine what Hogan and Andre got. And that Andre figure was awful. But I mean, just could they have done the MTV thing with anybody else? The war, everybody wants to talk about that first WrestleMania, but that summer before that, that water settled the score with Roddy Piper smashing the
The
gold
gold
record
record.
over Captain Lou's head, and it started. Cyndi Lauper jumped on his back, and it kind of went all the way to that first WrestleMania with the Piper thing and Hogan coming in because Cyndi Lauper was his friend. And I mean, if you're what I was like 11 years old, that was like the perfect storm of like what you're looking for in your pro wrestling. The merger, they were always on MTV. They had guest VJs of the wrestling guys, even like Paul Orndorff and Bob Orton and Roddy Piper were guest VJs at times. Dr. D was one too before he slapped John Stossel. But they tried to put the face of these guys on, to get people to recognize that this guy's an asshole and this guy's one of the good guys. So I mean, it's you could go on and on and on with that guy. And I think not to hijack the episode, but one of the things for me that I lost credibility with me about Hulk Hogan was when he got on these interviews after he was retired. He couldn't tell a straight story. Like, he couldn't just say, yeah, I was a part of Make-A-Wish. He would say, well, yeah, me, Michael Jackson, and so and so were at Wembley Stadium in 92, and we did all these Make-A-Wish things. Can't you just tell the story? Just tell it with no bullshit. People will respect you more as Hulk Hogan rather than saying, oh, you tried out to be a bassist in Metallica. Come on now.
When I think that was the start of his downfall as he got older, it was, all the storytelling leading up to the rants and all the stuff that he got himself in trouble with later in life. But it's when you're already on the top of the mountain, why you need to lie? You're already over here. You don't need to butter it up. Save that for the guys that are, trying to sneak into the top 10 or all those fake Hall of Famers. You're already on top of the world. I don't understand why you gotta try to add to it.
Yeah, you hear this. Tom will probably second this, but you hear the stories about the that ain't gonna work for me, brother.
Yeah,
You know
yeah.
that
Well,
that that's
the creative control stuff, when you're on the top, then you earn the right to, nobody likes it, but that's the spot that you've earned to be able to do all that stuff. So if you think you deserve something and you're over here and the guy over here controls everything, too bad on you. You gotta try getting that spot from him. He's not gonna let it go. So I never really held that against him, even though, as a fan watching it, especially once he started getting older, it's like, oh man, enough is enough. Like before he turned NWO, you kind of everybody he was one of the one guys that, like, a lot of people, that was their favorite guy, but not a lot of people stayed with him from day one all the way to the end. Like, Hulk Hogan's my favorite guy. Like, Hulk Hogan was my favorite when I was a kid, and then it was the same, kind of the same routine, kind of going through until, then we got older and he reinvented himself and it was like, I'm back in,
Yeah, but even like his creative control with the NWO got a little long in the tooth with letting all those guys in. You know what I mean? It's like sometimes in wrestling, they're their own worst enemy, with things. But I mean,
It's no
Hogan.
different in like NBA. Look at like say like LeBron. Whether you think he's the greatest basketball player of all time or not, the guy calls his own shots. He's top dog, so it is what it is. Kind of earned it, I guess.
He's the Hogan of the NBA.
Right.
Yeah. Now, here's a question that I'll throw out. We're trying to stay in a timeline. You hear, Billy Graham was too old, but that was the prototype of what Vince wanted. Hogan got the spot. Dusty told him no, which worked against him forever after that. Even to the point of, the kids paid for it too. That's how vindictive Vince was that the two kids even got the shaft. But out of the guys that were available at that time, who else taking those three out of the mix? You couldn't do it with Andre. There's no way you could have done that with Andre. Who else could have got that spot that was on top at that time that would have been able to pull off that? It,
Probably
not to
nobody. I'd
make.
say maybe Snuka. Snuka was like super popular, but
Snuka.
he wasn't throwing out no big
Yeah, but Snuka
promos.
ain't coming in to save Cyndi Lauper and saying that's my friend.
Right. Now, I mean, the only two I could think of at that time is like Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, but obviously they had their drawbacks. And
Yeah, not ready
nobody,
for prime time either in
nope,
84, Brad.
nope, none of nobody. And I even made the fan band sit down and we watched some old Hogan and Warrior matches, Hogan and Sting, and Hogan and Andre, and these old matches. And I was like, nobody did these matches and commanded that much authority in the ring as Hogan. Then you go and watch these promos, and I'm like, nobody did these promos. Even today, they don't do the promos the way Hogan did. And it's there's no comparison, that nobody can touch what he did for wrestling, man. Nobody.
The thing with Hogan in that spot, and I kind of thought about this all day because I knew we were going to talk about certain stuff with Hogan. The only guy, and I don't think he was ready at that time, but the only guy that had that kind of popularity but had never been out of that territory system that he was in was Kerry Von Erich.
That's what I was going to say. That's funny that you said that.
The only guy that had like charisma could probably sell to kids, but I don't think the day-to-day pro, he was not a great promo. None of the Von Erichs were great promos. You never knew what you were going to get with him. When they put that belt on him when he beat Flair, he only had it on for a short time because they had to pull it off because he missed a couple shots in there, and he only had it for 10 days. That Flair had to go to Japan and take it off you. So I don't know. There was nobody that was at. Hogan
You
was
know what's
even
funny
at.
too? With
Short
go
list.
ahead, Brad.
I
I'm
said
sorry.
short list, man.
Yeah. The thing with Hogan too is like we talk about all these like especially like early 80 guys. All big time always seem like they're all into drugs. All the top guys. Hogan, they always like drag him through the mud with the steroids, like almost every guy in that locker room was on steroids at that time. But you don't really hear Hulk Hogan stories like that he was on like any kind of crazy drugs or anything like that.
Bro, there's none. Like, where are the like the wild story, like Flair and the airplane stories, that airplane story, right? They did Dark Side about the plane ride of from hell. Macho Man, Ultimate Warrior, those dudes were definitely coked out.
They
How about
say no.
all the stories we hear about dudes on roids, beating their wives, Chris Benoit people, drunk driving, ODing in hotels. Like, we never got that with Hogan, but they drug him through the mud. Because of a steroid scandal, everybody was on roids, bro. But he took the fall. So I don't know, man.
According to, I don't know the steroid trial that well. But I heard that Hogan, they put him on a stand and he went to bat for Vince. So, I mean, there's so much about him that people don't know. And he did come from the kayfabe era, which I do like a lot, where these guys weren't as, I'll use the wrong term, approachable. You had to catch him. And even if you caught him, you didn't know what you were going to get. So with Hogan, I had seen him live a bunch of times, been up close. I can remember, like I said, we used to try to get tickets near the aisle when they came in and out at like the Civic Center or the Garden. I still remember how big he was, but everybody else was big too back then. Everybody was big. Even the mid-card guys like Johnny Rods and stuff like that, those guys were big. When me and Tom saw him years later, I can remember waiting in line. And I told the story to people that how I couldn't believe when I came around the corner because they had him alone to take pictures. It was just you had to leave your bag, no bullshit, go around the corner, say hi. High five, how you doing? Take the picture and keep it moving. When I came around that corner and I had not seen him yet, when I turned that corner to take that picture and I saw how massive he still was, like height and an older man still that big, I'm like, this is the biggest old guy I've ever seen before. And I can't even imagine standing next to him in his prime. In the
Yeah, I was
prime,
gonna say that's a lot
like
of
81.
a lot of back surgeries and knee surgeries later. I'm sure he's
To
not standing there
shrink you down,
standing upright.
I'm not saying he was legit 6'7", 6'8", but he had to be at least 6'5", 6'6", a massive guy. And even like when he stuck his hand out, just you can see that the joints in the hand, the old hand, that it's like this guy's hand is huge.
Oh, his
Even
hands
like
were gigantic, bro.
it. Tell you a funny story. Snuka, I saw him right before he passed away. When I shook that guy's hands, his hands were massive. And these are the things that when you see an Orange Cassidy or a Darby Allin, if these old guys got in the ring in their prime with that one of those fucking guys, no way would they let them do any of that stupid shit. They put their hands on you, no way.
Bro, you got to watch the Drew McIntyre interview with Logan Paul. He shoots on all how these young guys ain't in shape.
I saw what he said about the Samoan dynasty too.
Yep.
Yeah.
But if you want a
It,
shot, you got to change your last name to Fatu.
it, yeah. Yeah. But the thing, I mean, like, I think Hogan was his own worst enemy. I don't know if you guys agree,
Oh,
in
yeah.
his older years, rather than doing the Goodwill tour, like, like a Babe Ruth type thing, or like Bruno, always a class act till the end, stuck to his guns, didn't like the drugs, wanted you to work out normal and all that stuff. And Vince didn't like that. But at the end, they brought him back in the fray. Well deserved. But maybe you guys will disagree. But don't you think Hogan should have been that guy that could have been the Bruno, not the run. I'm not talking about when he was done, to be the guy that was always at events, always with the kids, always with the older fans, always just signing as many autographs as he can, taking as many pictures as he can. Goodwill ambassador for the WWE. Didn't have to be involved in storylines and none of that. Yeah, you bring him out. Yeah, he's got his beer. But don't you think that initial 84 Hulk Hogan guy should have been the guy at the end of the road that was just doing all the PR for them? What do you think?
I think it's his, he was his own worst enemy. I mean, they may have done that if he didn't open his mouth and burn so many bridges, because from what I read and what I've heard, a lot of the guys in the back didn't want him there because of what he said about different people and races. And so, I mean, he may have gotten that farewell tour if he didn't. He just was a guy that couldn't keep his mouth shut. And even back when he was younger, I heard a story the other day. He was back, I think it was back in 1985. They were on a tour in Japan and they wanted him to wrestle Terry Funk. And Terry Funk didn't want to do it. So Terry Funk said, "The only way I'll do it," he says, "is nobody puts it out there." He says, "I don't want to get back to the States," because he was still a pretty big name in NWA. Everybody agreed to it. He let Hogan ended up winning the match. Next thing you know, Hogan's doing a media interview and he said, "Yeah, I just beat Terry Funk in Japan." Terry Funk heard about it, got that question about it. He grabbed a couple of reporters and he went up to Hulk Hogan's hotel room trying to fight him, and Hogan wouldn't come out of his hotel room.
The legacy of Hulkamania is going to be like everything else. Now that he's gone, all the stuff that is going to come out about good, bad, and indifferent, probably more good stuff. Now that the WWE doesn't have to pay royalties anymore or whatever, now they're going to come out with a massive amount of unreleased Hulk Hogan stuff,
Oh yeah.
as far
Got a
as like on.
question. We've talked about doing these things before these guys died. Have they ever done a dark side on him? I don't remember.
No, he's
No,
never even really been
yeah.
a subject that's popped up in a dark side. I think that the thing about Hogan never really getting into trouble with the boys is he's different than Flair. Of course, Flair needs the rub. He said it before, he needs the social interaction. But when
Yeah.
Hogan was making money, that initial run, think about from up until WrestleMania 3. Think about the WrestleMania 1, 2, up to 3. Every guy that main evented with Hogan, they got a bigger cut just for wrestling Hogan. So his style for that short match, the hulking up, the three moves of doom, the three punches, the big foot leg drop, done. Now, Hogan was the deal he had with Vince, because they were trying to take up so many territories and do so many different things. He would come on mid card, say after in the afternoon at like the Civic Center, and then they'd put him on a plane, private, and fly him to, Boise, Idaho for at night, and then he would do the same thing. So he was always alone with whoever was handling whatever his stuff was. So he was very isolated when it came to that. Even like the Bill Goldberg was on a podcast saying that when he went to talk to Hogan about the, beating him in the Georgia Dome, he had to go into Hogan's dressing room because Hogan always had his own dressing room. Credit to him, because if there was a bunch of shitheads in there too, you don't want to get dragged into any of that stuff too.
I think some of
So,
the animosity comes from that as well, though.
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but when
You
you
go ahead.
look at the big picture though, of Hogan, like I couldn't see Hogan doing like a farewell tour or a goodwill thing. Like it wouldn't, he's like, he is too big to me, he's too big for that. And he like it the polarization of his character, where it's whether it's Terry or it's Hogan, that thin line, just like with Vince McMahon, where we can't tell, are we talking to Hulk or are we talking to Terry? That's what made this guy over the top, even more phenomenal and immortal than any other wrestler could be. You know, like even in death, his daughter Brooke got snubbed from the freaking farewell shows on SmackDown and Raw. They even, and count NXT, three shows gave him a farewell salute, and Brooke Hogan didn't get invited to either one of them. So, like, it's just, that's just Hogan's life, man. Like, that to me, I just, it's all part of the appeal, man. It's what made him so good. And now we got The Rock. The Rock's doing Hogan stuff. We wouldn't call Becky Lynch Becky Hogan if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan. What would we call her? You know what I'm saying? Anytime somebody tries to Hogan somebody in wrestling, where it's AEW, WCW, or WWE, now we have a term that we use for it. No other wrestler has that status. I think The Rock now is on his way, I think, to being that next, you know, guy. But nah, man, it's all part of the allure and the history of Hulk Hogan, man.
So the thing about Hogan is how far back has he been shady? Let's just say we'll use that
Oh,
word.
yeah.
He'll say that when he was in Florida, he was a big superstar Billy Graham fan. When he said he went to the matches and saw him and Dusty and guys like that, and just were so enamored with those guys. From Billy Graham, stole the brother and all that stuff from Billy Graham, stole the look from Billy Graham, stole a little of that chirping from Dusty, maybe a little bit, but definitely, I know you guys don't know this, but when he was in Georgia in '79, Austin Idol was there. And Austin Idol used to say, "Idol Mania is running wild." And Hogan stole that. So when you steal it and somebody doesn't remember it, technically did you steal it? But if you go back and watch it, now it's on YouTube. Austin Idol was another one of those guys that I always loved. Great heel, great promo. Started in the WWF in the early 70s, I and Mike McCord. There's another guy. Maybe could have taken that spot. I don't know. But looked like $1 million, but never wanted to leave the South. Another Southern boy, never wanted to come north of the Mason-Dixon line, but he did steal that from him. Stole a little bit from Jesse from the AWA too, which Jesse stole from Billy Graham. So Hogan took smart enough to look at the package of people and saying, you know what? If I get a chance, I'm taking that. Stealing a page or two from this one. So you got to give him credit for being a chameleon when it comes to things like that in the wrestling business. So if you don't ever mention it, but years later, when, like Brad was saying, where does Terry start and Hulk stop? He'll put out blurbs every now and then, like Vince McMahon did about, certain things that you always wondered about, or urban legends like with Dusty. Why do you have to wait till these guys pass away to give them their props? If you've got all these, stories, just say it. Nobody's gonna, you're at the end of the road. Who's gonna care? But Hogan, like you said, to his discredit, too much flapping the gums.
Too much CTE, man.
Yeah, probably a little bit.
You know something, when he talks about like his injuries and he used to wrestle every night, he was the first guy that I could remember that was like, you didn't get to watch him wrestle. You only know, get to watch him wrestle on pay-per-view and Saturday night's main event. He wasn't wrestling all the time, and
No.
he wasn't putting anybody over. So Unless he destroyed his back from dropping leg drops on everybody for freaking 15 years.
The other urban legend that this has really nothing to do with Hogan, but WrestleMania 2, the one that they did from the three different locations, the urban legend was that the King Kong Bundy spot initially was supposed to be Bruiser Brody to work with Hogan. Come in out of nowhere, have the press conference, give him the business, and then take it to the blue cage. But Brody, much like Hogan, said, "That ain't gonna work for me, brother. And if I get in there, you might have a fight on your hands before you get a 1, 2, 3." So that's why that never happened. Allegedly, that's the story. But imagine it, King Kong Bundy is no Bruiser Brody. Got King Kong in the name, but two different guys.
That guy got a big rub off of that freaking WrestleMania too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hall of Famer, Ryan?
Hell no.
It's been a while since we did that. So, let's talk WrestleMania 3. In my opinion, the greatest spectacle of WrestleMania's all time. That is WrestleMania 3. Top to bottom, the way it was, presented. I think out of the WWEF events, that is the greatest event in WWF history. Let's agree or disagree. Everybody agree or disagree?
The CTE must be kicking in on me because I don't remember the matches.
They would come down to the ring inside the little rings. That was the season one, right? Oh
Hogan Andre,
no.
Hogan
Oh
Andre,
Hogan
yeah.
Andre,
Yeah.
Steamboat and Randy
Rick
Savage.
Savage.
Oh yeah.
Oh, the chain match with Billy Jack Haynes and Hercules Hernandez with they got busted open.
Yep.
I think it was the tag match
Was it
was
Bulldogs?
I don't know if they who they fought in that, if it was Killer Bees or if it was Hart Foundation. But anyways, still, I think just the match with, everybody talks about if you're gonna become a pro wrestler, the Randy Savage Steamboat matches, and everybody forgets that George Steele was the catalyst in that.
Yeah.
It was the Elizabeth thing that slingshotted that off on Saturday night's main event with the ring bell, remember?
Yep. The thing that was awesome about that one too is I went to that WrestleMania, but I was in the Providence Civic Center because they used to sell WrestleMania in the regular arenas,
Closed circuit.
and you watched it on the big screen.
Yep.
So
So,
even if you were you got the program and everything, like you were there.
yeah. Did you know that, Brad?
No, they're trying to do that with SummerSlam though. Put it
Yeah,
in
they've been doing
theaters.
it with the, I told Ed, they were doing it with the AEW events that you could go to the movie theater to watch it live.
Yeah, I would do that
They
100%.
still do it. I think it's through Fathom Events. If you go
Yeah.
the next time there's a pay-per-view, you can go and find out which is the local movie theater by your zip code that has it. So, but
How could I forget that WrestleMania? That was the WrestleMania Bundy flattened the midget. Little Beaver.
you go from wrestling Hulk Hogan in two to flattening Little Beaver in three.
Yo, I was 5 when that WrestleMania came out.
What was the first WrestleMania
Jeez.
you watched, Brad?
Oh shit.
Was it the one with Hogan and Slaughter, 91?
No, I don't remember. I probably was Hogan and Ultimate Warrior. Yeah, that was WrestleMania. That
Yep.
was
Sky
see?
Dope.
Yeah, that's probably the earliest I remember.
Okay. Yeah, Hogan didn't go over in that one.
Nah. Still a fun match. Matter of fact, I made the family rewatch that one.
Where the
Lucas was
Warrior has
not
a hard time
impressed.
picking up Hogan over his head.
Yeah, he tried to pick him up for the press. He dropped him. Yeah, Lucas not impressed.
Hogan probably didn't try helping him out on purpose.
Yeah,
Dude.
well, Warrior
Can't
like
wait.
had his hand on his throat, and I was like, oh, this doesn't look good at all, man. But it's still, to me, it was a fun match. I was like, it doesn't get any better. And they're like, no, it's boring. Where's the
Come
super
on.
kicks? Where's the high flying flip?
Oh, stop it.
Where's the tables, ladders, and chairs?
After watching so many Hulk Hogan matches, and as we started getting older, so he hits the scene where like 10 or 11. So now that's just the start of that run.
Yeah.
To the point where it was like now we're like already like 15 or 16 years old. But when he lost the belt on Saturday night's main event, and you thought he had zero shot of ever losing that belt ever, that's probably one of the most shocked I've ever been watching wrestling.
Well, we talked about that. That was the one of
Referees,
the
right?
yeah, one of the most watched
Yep.
things in television history, like ratings wise.
Yeah,
At 10
I
million.
look like the guy from when The Undertaker lost the streak.
Well,
No.
I think out of all my wrestling moments from when I started watching, my most shock and awe moment to this day, I'll because I don't think anything will ever hit me like that watching wrestling, but that was unbelievable. I remember watching it with my father, getting him to stay up to watch it with me, and having him see it and going, "The hell just happened?" I said, "I think he lost." He's like, "He lost the belt?" And then when they were doing the thing with the Gorilla Monsoon saying, "Oh, there must have been some plastic surgery here," and blah 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 blah. Ted DiBiase paid for plastic surgery. I can remember him just laughing and laughing and laughing and back at me like, "This shit is just out of hand." But yeah, have you ever heard the story about the Tuesday in Texas Undertaker story with Hogan? You ever heard that story
Oh, who's that going? You got me, brother?
with the neck?
Yeah.
So,
Oh, yeah.
they had the pay-per-view, whatever it was, SummerSlam or whichever one it was. I think it was some Survivor Series. That's what it was. Undertaker gives him the tombstone, pins him 1, 2, 3, and then he lays in the ring, and Undertaker goes to the back. Hogan comes in the back and he's telling him, "Oh, my neck, oh, you got me, you were supposed to take care of me and all this other stuff and blah 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 blah." And they put him in the neck brace and he's talking to Vince and, "Why are you gonna let that guy hurt me?" They go back and they watch it. You can go back and watch the whole thing, and Mark Calloway says, like, when I dropped him, I'm like, he's Hulk Hogan. I gotta take care of this guy because I want to make money with him. So when I drop him, I know his head didn't hit, but something must have happened. And he's like, doesn't know that Hogan's working him. And here's the problem right there. And then, of course, that's not gonna work for me, brother. I gotta get the belt back on Tuesday. So they have the that was like the most oddest thing, because it was on like USA Network. Instead of having like primetime wrestling or something like that, they like this blurb came up on like cable that like Hulk Hogan's rematch is going to be the Tuesday in Texas. And it was like, huh? The hell is going on? So, of course, you watch it. It's like three matches. It's like shorter than a Saturday night's main event. And yeah, just to put the belt back on him. Crazy. Just the politics behind the scenes. Let's talk about the relationship with Randy Savage. Very odd. Fellas.
Who's at fault? I think Macho is
A little over the top.
a little wacky, a little overprotective there, Mike. A bit.
Brad,
Yeah.
what do you think? Too many nose beers for the Macho Man?
Yeah, I think Macho Man was sitting a little too much booger sugar and mixed with the CTE and. Just, I think Hogan's personality too, man, is I can't imagine he's the easiest guy to get along with, you know.
Well, if he's always working
Yeah.
and he can't shut that off, just imagine how many people you're rubbing the wrong way.
Yeah.
But I had heard the story that Hogan got Randy Savage to move to Tampa. They live close to each other. They were like thick as thieves, buds, the whole deal. whatever that is, whatever think of, draw your own conclusions back then, late 80s. But I guess Randy Savage and Elizabeth were having problems, and she was friends with Hogan's wife. And I guess when she left Randy, they were the ones that orchestrated, hey, you can come live with us. And I guess they didn't like that, or Hogan didn't like that, that Savage thought it was all him. And I guess from there, that's when the animosity grew. And I don't know if they ever squashed it. Hogan
Oh,
tells.
after, yeah, I was gonna say after Randy Savage died, he's like, yeah,
Yeah.
it
He even,
was all good.
people were calling BS that he even inducted Randy Savage into the Hall of Fame, where Lenny Poffo had said it should have been him, and that Hogan and him never, kind of made amends, let's just say. Thoughts on the Mega Powers?
Mega powers. Oh yeah.
Made a lot of money. That's what they're there for. Franco.
Not a big fan of the mega powers.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan of the mixed tag team division, strictly for guys that are just coming in. Put two guys together. One of them looks like he might become a star. Turns on the stiff. Off to being a star. I hate when it's like I got two superstars. I got nothing to do with them. I'm gonna have a pay-per-view with 30 tag team matches because I just need to get guys on TV.
so if we're splitting hairs, this is a phantom question. Mega powers?
No superpowers
That's what it was. It was mega powers, superpowers. Who you taking?
Nope. I want my Russians bad. Don't cancel me. I don't want to be like Hogan with some grandpa racism.
So will you all please rise for the Soviet national anthem? Not will you
Yes.
all rise for the Pledge
Yes.
of Allegiance?
Cold War Russians in wrestling, please. Thank you very much. The wall never went down in my house.
So the WCW thing where they bring in Hogan after the fallout with WWF, where they, trying to go with that new generation and that whole thing. Do you think that that's a perfect example of Hogan being his own worst enemy, is when he got to WCW with the Dungeon of Doom, and everybody in the Dungeon of Doom's got to be one of his buddies so that he can beat guys? Thoughts?
I'll go the opposite. Hulk Hogan stepped foot in WCW and that thing went through the roof.
Took off.
Thomas?
It went through the roof, especially when it started the whole NWO. I mean, he didn't start it, but don't get me wrong. But like you said, even with that, he was the only worst enemy where he got creative control, which is actually WCW's fault, because if you gave him control, I mean, he didn't come in and take it. That was part of his contract. So, I mean, you can't blame him for put himself over, I guess, if you're stupid enough to actually put it in his contract where he can. But so I mean, yeah, in one hand he was his own worst enemy, but in the other, they kind of screwed themselves.
So the NWO turn, you guys have all heard the story, right? That up until the very last minute, Kevin Sullivan had to sit with that guy and Hulk Hogan's lawyer and convince him that that was the right thing to do, to turn him heel. Hulk Hogan slept at Kevin Sullivan's house, because Kevin Sullivan was so worried that somebody was going to get in his ear and tell him not to do it, that Kevin Sullivan focused on just sitting with Hogan till it got him out there. And I mean, I think it kind of revitalized the career. But
Oh, yeah.
here's the perfect example of him knowingly knowing how to attach himself to certain situations and knowing what's going to work for him. And that's a perfect example of him doing that.
I think he legitimized the group though.
Oh, yeah.
It just thrown it like he came into the group automatically. He's already the tough guy. He's like turned into like the leader of the group. It wasn't, they were all, at first it seemed like it was gonna be like the three of them all equal. He emerged to the top. I don't know. I mean, that's the Bischoff influence and all that, but it's that to me is still what skyrocketed at all. If maybe it crumbled at the end, but you would have never it might have crumbled even before that. They might have been off the air if they didn't if start beating WWE in the ratings and all that, and that would have never happened if he didn't jump in.
For sure,
Bully.
man. I think Hogan and the whole NWO thing. I mean, that was probably like you said, Andy, like there's points when you liked them, points when you didn't. I wasn't a huge fan of the NWO Hogan because I was the big Hulkamaniac, growing up. But, you can't deny the star power, dude. Like shit, man, we wouldn't have half the stuff to talk about on this podcast without Hulk Hogan, man.
Right.
He's ingrained in so many different avenues and stories, and he's been a part of so many different matches and storylines and characters, man. And I mean, we wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for Hogan, man.
It's true. I mean, he is iconic to a point of there would be no big pay-per-views. There would be no WrestleMania. There would be no wrestling at an entertainment level with crossover stuff if it wasn't for that guy. I mean, he's the catalyst for bringing wrestling to the masses, let's just say. I think that there was a whole bunch of people that got into pro wrestling because of Hogan for a lot of different reasons. Just, I can remember never, ever being able to find a wrestling t-shirt other than something would pop up in one of the pro wrestling magazines and you were buying it like strictly from them, and it was like some kind of like funky Road Warriors shirt. And then right in 83 before Hogan got there, they had, you can see the shirts because they're kind of rare. They came out with a Morocco shirt, a Rocky Johnson shirt, a Andre shirt, a Snuka shirt, and a Bob Backlund shirt, and they were like really nice looking, but you could never find them. It was something you had to order through the magazine. But when Hogan came along, it was the first time I can remember being in places like Zayas and Kmart and seeing, like, they weren't really like WWF licensed stuff, but they were Hulk Hogan stuff. And it was like, Hogan's on a t-shirt and it's like in the kids section, but it's not a Hulkamania t-shirt. You would never see a Hulkamania t-shirt unless you went there. They would have the foam fingers, the Hulkamania t-shirts. I never saw those in the stores, but there were these department stores that would have them. I don't know how they got licensed. They were Hulk Hogan-like shirts holding the WWF belt, and they were like drawn kind of on like a tan shirt or some odd color shirt. Ryan probably remembers seeing them.
About when we used to go to the when they used to have that t-shirt place downtown, you get the iron-ons.
The book.
Have them with the belt and get that some get some Charlie's Angels, hook it up real nice.
But my point being is he's the one that brought wrestling to the department stores. His face. And I think between the appeal of the department store for the kid and the rock and wrestling cartoon, and which is super hard to find now for some reason. I don't know if they find it off color now, but when the WWE Network first launched, they were on there the whole first 2 seasons because there's only 2 seasons, and then they're gone. They took them off for whatever reason. I don't know. I don't know if there's a connection there with Hanna-Barbera, whoever drew it, but yeah, he's not, I don't want to use the wrong term. He's not immortal, but he is iconic for, you know, if ever there was a bridge between how wrestling was and how it is now, I think it's him. And it, I don't know if you guys agree. Let's open this one up to debate. You have to put four wrestling t-shirts on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling. You put four up there. What's your four?
Austin 316.
Austin 316. Do you put the Hulkamania t-shirt on?
Hulkamania.
Okay.
NWO.
The NWO, and you got one more. That's the tough
I
one.
have Roddy Piper.
Hot Rod?
Hot Rod. Yeah.
Yep.
Is that your four? And the very
How about
seldom
that?
that.
How about the Macho Man one? The pink one or the purple?
The one with the
Pretty good.
glasses with the you
Pretty
can see him
good.
pointing. I don't know. I don't know. I will the three.
Well, if it's NWO and Hulkamania, that's already two of the four.
How's about that? Hogan on
Yeah.
two of the four t-shirts plus Austin 316, and I'm gonna have to go with Tom Hot Rod because people have worn that have been like CM Punk's worn it. You know, I've seen him wear the Macho Man one.
Uh-oh.
Oh, we lost him.
You froze,
He's
brother.
back.
I did.
Uh-oh.
I did.
Yeah,
You
brother.
froze. Yeah. I'm back.
I thought we were having a reenactment.
Nope. Somebody downstairs must have jumped on the we're getting canceled.
Yeah.
You got me, brother. You got me.
That this connection ain't gonna work for me, brother. So let's because we've been going on for a while, I'm gonna ask everybody what do you think the legacy of Hulk Hogan should be going forward? Let's start with the professor. Thomas, you're the voice of reason.
He is. I mean, to me, when you talk about like Mount Rushmore, he's the first person almost everybody you ask will mention. I mean, his legacy to me is wrestling. It's going to be like he brought them mainstream.
Brankowitz, what do you got?
I agree with Tom. I think all this stuff in recent years will fade, and I think he'll go on as being the greatest wrestler of all time. I think he's got. I mean, I depending on how long Flair's around for, I'm sure when he goes, it's always you get the recency bias, but I don't think anybody can touch him, to be honest. Whether it's immortal, incredible, whatever moniker you want to stick with him, he's one of those guys with, like Tom said, with the Mount Rushmore. Recent years, people throw it out there. They don't even want to throw his name on there. It's like, it got to be the first name out of your mouth. Like you can argue about who's two. To me, can't touch him. Easy number one. And I think that it's all the stuff, whether it's the BS and or the stuff later in life, I think it'll be forgotten. The same with like, wait until Vince dies. Right now, nobody will touch him. Vince dies, everybody's gonna be, oh man, Vince. We don't even know if that stuff was true. Everybody forgets the bad stuff once you die, because it's now you got the end of the book. You got three quarters of a book that's great, and some chapters not so much. But overall, if you're looking at just the wrestling, number one, easy.
All right, Bradford, what do you got? The legacy of Hulkamania.
I mean, this is the guy that got me into wrestling. He kept me into wrestling. I mean, I could still just go back on Peacock and just for hours watch his matches. I think Hulk Hogan is synonymous with pro wrestling. I don't see how you can't have him. Like y'all said, you can argue about the other three or who your two, three, and four is on Mount Rushmore. I don't see how you can't say Hulk Hogan is on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling, period. Dot. I think we all can agree, stick a pin in it. Like, he is the guy. Greatest of all time. I don't think we would have anything close to what we have now as a product of what we watch if it wasn't for him. He opened the door for guys to get sponsorships and endorsements. He opened the door for guys to get in TV and movies. Like you guys said, to go mainstream. We wouldn't have a Rock. We wouldn't have Stone Cold. Like you said, Andy, all these guys that we, well, I guess my generation grew up immortalizing, those guys got their start because of Hulk Hogan. And I don't see anybody in the near future that is going to have that same effect on generations of pro wrestling. Stone Cold, yeah, is a, you know, had his moments. John Cena, The Rock, yeah, they had their moments, but I don't think any, even as big as they were, I don't think they will ever be immortalized to the extent of what Hogan was. Greatest of all time, in my opinion, man, and my all-time favorite. I've said it on the show. Look, he said the N-word, hard R. I get it. He got canceled for it. Let's call it what it is. Rip the Band-Aid off. Booker T said it on live TV. Gets
Yeah,
a
and
pass. I mean,
you
come
know
on.
who he said it about?
Hogan.
So
I get it, man. Cody gave a great promo on was a SmackDown, you know, when everything happened. He's like, call it what you will. The man, Terry Bollea, was very polarizing. The mythos around Hulk Hogan is immortal. He's the greatest of all time. So if you have ever seen that promo, go back and watch it. Cody did a really good job.
yeah, I think that with him, if they have a physically, from a wrestling fan perspective, if they have a physically have a Hall of Fame that you can go to and see memorabilia, actual memorabilia, not knockoff stuff. If you are gonna make a wing dedicated to certain people, there's only a few that deserve it, like a whole room with their memorabilia, Flair's robes. You know, things like that, different belts that Flair's had. Hogan should be one of them. Andre, Flair, Bruno, Macho Man, guys like that. Yeah, I mean, it's there's top 10 legends in wrestling, and you know, there's very few immortalizing characters, and the red and yellow will only stand for one wrestler. Nobody, they should do like with Gretzky, where they retire 99 throughout the, nobody should ever have to wear the red and yellow anymore as a wrestler. You should be able to cut that out. Nobody can wear that gear unless they're paying homage to it somehow. But other than that, off the list. So, fellas, do you think we did the Hulkster some justice on the way out?
I hope so, man.
Brad, we're doing the Lord's
Hey, we
work,
did.
Brad.
We did our best.
We
We
did
did
our
our
best.
best.
We did our best. I mean, we could take a subject wrestling wise and do an hour, no problem. Anything. We could talk any of these legends. We could tell stories and bring up subjects and just do round tables with it. So this was great, and it's great to see the boys again. So from, you know, your 1973 podcast to everybody that gives it a like, watch, and subscribe, as the kids say. We'll see you next week. Later.